Well, we're going to spend a little while now just thinking about that verse I read earlier, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, as we think a little bit more about King David, which is what we're doing in our children's talks on a Sunday morning. But before we think a little bit more, let us pray and ask for God's help as we think about it. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who speaks. Thank you that you are a God who has spoken to us through your word. And Father, we pray that you would help us now to understand, and help us not just to understand in our minds, but to then obey it in our hearts. Father, we ask for your help in this, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, do you remember last week? We heard about Saul, the first king of God's people, Israel. And Saul had become king because the people had wanted a king, even though Samuel, the prophet, had told them God was their king. He was the one who would look after them the best. But the people had answered, look, we want a real king, one we can see. And so God gave them a king, and that was Saul. And he seemed like a good king at first. But he became proud, and he stopped listening to God. And he started doing what he wanted, like keeping all the sheep and the cows, even though God said not to. Do you remember we heard the bleating last week? He didn't obey God. He didn't love God with all his whole heart. And so God said, look, I need a king who loves me and will teach my people to love me. I need a true king. And God had one in mind. So he sent Samuel to Bethlehem, to Jesse's house. And God was going to choose one of Jesse's sons to be the new king. Now in those days, if you were going to be the king, you didn't have to be the richest or the cleverest, although that was nice. You had to look like a king, which meant you had to be the tallest and the strongest, so you could carry the long swords and the biggest armor and defeat everyone. And it didn't hurt if you were, you know, good looking either. Now, what would you look for in a king? What are the kind of things you'd want in a king? Any idea? No, no idea. Go on, Tom, what would you look for in a king? A little bit of sister. A kind king, that would be a good thing to have in a king, wouldn't it? What else might you look for in a king?
A respectable king.
A respectable king. Is that what we said? Yeah? Yeah, absolutely. You might want, a popular king, wouldn't you? Someone who everyone looked, maybe David Beckham, would you want? You know, he's quite popular, isn't he? It'd be quite fun to follow him as king. I mean, King Bex? I don't know. Danny's a football player. Well, what about... Doesn't play for a good team. What about this guy here? Anyone know who he is? Usain Bolt. He's the fastest man at the moment on the world. What do you reckon? Someone who's really sporty to be king. Would that be good? He did, but he was all right in the end. Yeah? What do you think? Really fast. You think sport? What about King Usain Bolt? No, no. What about... Anyone know who this is? Einstein, now you think he's a really, really, really clever man. What do you reckon? A really clever king. That'd be quite good to follow, wouldn't it? Really clever king? No, you're not so keen? No? What about someone that's really funny? Maybe
Justin
and Mr. What do you reckon? A really funny king to follow. That'd be good?
Mr. Tumble.
No, yeah, what do you reckon? King Tumble. No? No? What about a really, good looking king? Eh? So there's lots of laughter. I don't know why. I mean, King Matt. What do you reckon? No? All those things could be good. But you know what? Look what Samuel thought was important as well. He wasn't far off what we thought. See, he asked Jesse to bring him each son in turn. So Jesse brought the oldest, tallest, strongest son, Eliab. Now, Nathan, would you mind coming and stand up here and be Eliab for me? You don't have to do anything, just stand there, because you look tall and... Just stand up here. You look tall and old and strong. Here's Eliab. Now, you look at it and you go, this must be the king, mustn't you? I mean, Samuel thought, he looks like a king. Samuel was remembering King Saul. Do you know what the Bible said about King Saul? He said that Saul, the Bible says that Saul was an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others. Saul was handsome and tall and impressive, and Eliab, well, Samuel saw Eliab and he thought he must be as well, you know, tall and impressive and handsome, and think, could be the king. But you know what? God didn't choose him. God said to Samuel, you're thinking about what he looks like on the outside, but I'm looking at the heart. What he looks like on the inside. Remember our verse 7? He says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so Eliab's not the one. It's all right. Stay there. So Jesse shows Samuel his next oldest, tallest, strongest son, attractive Abinadab. Now, I need someone who's a little bit shorter than Nathan. John, are you a bit shorter than Nathan, do you think? Definitely. Here comes attractive Abinadab. Well, he's the tallest, the strongest, and the oldest. Now we have the next tallest, strongest, oldest, attractive Abinadab. Do you think he was the one? No, he was not the one either. So Jesse asked, look, show me the next oldest, tallest, strongest son, strong Shammah. Now, we need someone who's going to be a little bit shorter than John. Good luck, yes. Listen, I think probably... Yes. Would you be one? Would you be up there? Chris, Samuel, would you go and say? Yeah, slightly, but you're... Yeah, go on. You look king-like this morning. Come on. Yeah. Thank you, Samuel. Good man. That's great. So now we have strong Shammah. Can you say it? Strength? Show strength. Yeah, look at that. Ultra strong. Let's get the microphone out of the way. We want to see. So now we've got Eliab. We've got attractive Abinadab, and we've got strong Shammah. Do you think strong Shammah's the king?
No.
No. So you know what Jesse said? Right, I want the next oldest, tallest, strongest son. And so he brought out the next one. I need someone a little bit taller. Are you going to be a little bit shorter than Sam? God, yeah, I think you probably will be. Just a little bit. There we go. Well, what do we reckon? Do we think Samuel is going to be the king? I mean, he looks king-like, doesn't he? I mean, he looks like a king. No. So guess what Jesse said? Bring me the next oldest, tallest, strongest king son you have. And do you know what? Yeah, go on, Tom. You go there. Go out there. You can be the next one. Yeah, do you want to just shuffle up, guys? Brilliant. Tom is king-like. We get 5 really impressive kings up here, but what do you reckon? Do you think Tom could be king?
No.
No. Do you think we've got anyone smaller than Tom? Oakley, but he's not here. Well, you see, the next thing, right? Well, we'll just have to go. The next king, Samuel asked Jesse for the next oldest, tallest, strongest son, and he wasn't the king. And then he asked for the next, and the next, and the next, and he wasn't. Until finally, Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse laughed, and he said, well, there is the youngest one. But he's just a bit of a weakling. He's the weakling of the family. He's the teeny-weeny king. Bring him, said Samuel. So Jesse sent for him and had the youngest, teeniest son brought. Now, Nath, do you reckon you're smaller than Tom? Go on then, you can go stand over there as well, go on. You can go be the next one. So he brought the teeniest one up. Didn't quite work. Maybe we'll go swap. Tom, you become the teeniest weeniest. Excellent, there you go. Now we've got Tom, the teeniest weeniest king. And we think, do you think this is the one? I mean, they're all attractive. They're all strong. And now we've got the teeniest, weeniest one. What do you reckon? Guys, you want to go sit down? Thank you very much. You see, lots of them weren't until the youngest one was brought out. The youngest, teeniest, weeniest son. And do you know what? Do you know what the Bible says about this teeniest, weeniest one? This youngest son of Jesse's? He said that he was ruddy. That means he was healthy and strong. You healthy and strong, Tom? Yeah, you were. And it says he had a fine appearance and he was handsome. And do you know what his name was? David.
I'm David.
David. And do you know what God said? God said, when he saw this one, the teeniest, weeniest, the youngest son, he said, this is the one. And not because he was ruddy, not because he was fine in appearance with handsome features, because God is not concerned with the outward appearance, but because of what was on the inside, his heart. See, God is not concerned with how David's outward appearance looked. He was as good looking, he was going to be as strong as his brother. But God looked at his heart. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean for God to look at our heart? Let me see if you can get some help here. I've got a mirror. Nice mirror, hey? It's mine. Now, can you see? What can you see? Tell me what you can see. What can you see?
Myself.
You see yourself, yeah? Fairly good looking young man. Yeah? Yeah, looking good. What can you see? You can see yourself as well, you know? Looking good. Check it, yeah? Hair's all right. Is it all right, girls? Yeah, you're looking good. What can you guys see over here? Anything? Can you see?
Hello.
Anyone see their heart?
No.
Mate, Joe, could you open your mouth? Let's see if we can see your heart. Open your mouth, let's see. Can you see your heart in there? Can you see? You can't see your heart in there.
I can see my big tooth growing.
Oh, well, that's good. You can see your big tooth growing, but you can't see your heart. Whoa, hold it. Oh, well, what does that mean? You could see yourselves. You could see what you looked on the outside, but you couldn't see your heart. And when God says he's more concerned with our heart, he's not really talking about our big, red, beating heart inside us. What God says is he's looking at our hearts. He's saying he's looking at who we really are. Do we love him? Do we obey him? Do our characters, our personalities reflect him? See, elsewhere in the Bible, God said that David's heart was a heart after his. That is, it was a heart that was like God's, a heart that wanted to do what God wanted. So David was obedient and loving and kind and thoughtful and gracious. His heart was like God's. And you see, when God was choosing his king, he chose for his people to follow a king whose heart was like his. So question, who do we follow? Who do we follow? Kind of leaders that the people of Israel thought were good, so the tallest, that's the tallest man in the world. Or maybe the strongest. I used to look like that. And then the oldest. I mean, that's who Jesse, wasn't it? He was looking for the tallest, the oldest, the strongest. But they weren't going to be the kings. Or maybe it's the kind of leaders that we'd like to follow. Maybe it's, we think about following, oh no, we don't want to follow those kings. We want to follow maybe those who are popular. Don't want to follow a popular king, no. Or a funniest, or the cleverest, or the funniest, or the best looking. No, we need to follow someone whose heart obeys God, whose heart is in line with God's. See, David was a good king, but he still sinned and disobeyed God. We need to follow a king whose heart perfectly is in line with God's, who perfectly loved God, who perfectly obeys God. And God chose a king just like that. God chose Jesus. And what is striking, here's the thing, listen to this, is that the Bible says that Jesus had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire to follow him. The Bible says outwardly, Jesus didn't look much. Jesus didn't look very impressive. So much so that, in fact, his friends and family in Nazareth, when he grew up, said, well, he's just one of us. Outwardly, Jesus did not look like God's king, but inwardly, his heart, he was perfectly God's king. He loved God perfectly. He always obeyed God. He loved others, even those who hated him. Jesus' heart was just like God's. And God says Jesus is the king to follow. And if we follow this king, then we'll be doing what it is God wants, because Jesus will be leading us in the ways that God wants, because his heart perfectly loves and obeys God. He's the best person to follow. So you know what? Even when we're at school this week and people tease us for following Jesus and they'll say things like, well, you follow a man with a big beard and sandals. Why would you want to follow him? Why do you want to follow that outdated figure? You know, outwardly, Jesus didn't look like a king. But he's the best king to follow because of his heart. And the reason we follow him is because his heart was perfect. He perfectly obeyed. He perfectly loved God. That is the best person to follow. The only person to follow. And as we seek to follow Jesus, it also means we'll want to follow or look up to human leaders who follow Jesus, who reflect his heart. It's interesting. You know, when in the Bible it speaks about choosing leaders to lead churches, you know what it speaks about? It doesn't speak about what they can do, whether they're popular or whether they're funny or whether they're clever or whether they're good looking or whether they can preach really well or do a really funny children's talk. It doesn't say any of those things. It says what God's more concerned with is their character, their heart. They're to be those who love, who are generous, who are hospitable, who love and care for their families, who are well thought of by their neighbours, who do not steal, who do not quarrel, because God is concerned with the heart, not the outward appearance. And you know what? When we think about who we look up to and respect and follow and want to be like, we want to be looking up to people who want to follow Jesus, whose hearts are like God, and not just want to follow or be like those who outwardly look okay, the most popular, the funniest, the cleverest, the sportiest, the best. We want to be following, looking up to those who want to be like Jesus. They're the ones we really want to follow. And you know what? Adults need to be concerned with this as well. They need to look up to those who love Jesus, who follow him, who are... Or are we more impressed with someone's outward appearance? So often, isn't it, adults, we can begin to think, well, we want to follow or be like the funniest or the smartest or the most popular or the most successful. So or are we more concerned to follow not the personality but the character, those who are godly, those who are seeking to follow Christ in every area of their life? See, it's easy, isn't it, to look up to the Christian who has the biggest personality or who's the most successful. But are we looking for those who are Christ-like, the most like Jesus, whether they're successful or not, whether they have a big personality or not, whether they're funny or not? Are we seeking to follow Jesus? Are we seeking to follow those who follow Jesus, who are prayers, who are servant-hearted, who are just like Jesus? You know, who are we following? Question we all need to ask, isn't it? We want to follow and look up to others who are following the best king, and we want to follow Jesus because he's the best king to follow. And then lastly, are we concerned with our own hearts? See, what's your heart like? Is it a heart that reflects God? Do you love him and obey him? Is it a heart that loves and obeys Jesus? Is it a heart that wants to do what pleases him? So is it a heart that seeks to do kind things? Is it a heart that seeks to share, to love others, even the person who is just slightly weird? Do we love them and obey Jesus like Jesus obeyed God? Do we have a heart that seeks to obey our mums and our dads? Because God says that's a good thing to do. Is our heart trying to follow Jesus and do what he says? Do you know what? Adults need to be concerned for their hearts as well. So often adults, we're concerned for our children's heart, but what about our own? Are we concerned that our hearts reflect God's? Are we concerned to speak to our hearts, to rebuke them when they're selfish, when they're self-consumed, when they're critical, when they're unloving? It's interesting, isn't it? All of us, children and adults, we all spend so much time, so concerned with what we look like on the outside, whether our hair is right, whether our weight is right, whether we're wearing the right clothes and the best makeup. Not me, but... You see, are we concerned with our hearts? Are we concerned to bring our hearts in line with God's will? And we do that by submitting to his word, by obeying his word. Are we doing that? Are we wanting to follow Jesus and do what he says? Do you know what? It's worth asking a friend. Worth asking a friend this week, is my heart, is my character, is who I am beginning to be like Jesus? I think there's probably three responses this morning. There'll be those of us who hear this and our hearts are wanting to follow Jesus. They love him, they want to do what he says, they know they don't do it all the time perfectly, but they're wanting their hearts to be like this. And if that's us, if we want to follow Jesus, then you know what? Keep on going. Keep on following Jesus and asking him to make your heart more like his. But I imagine there'll be those here this morning who are also struggling. They know they want to be his. They know they want to have a heart like Jesus. But they've slightly forgotten their first love. And they need their heart rekindled so that they want and seek to have a heart like Jesus again. And they need to look again at their first love. They need to remember what Jesus did on the cross. And keep seeking, even when we don't feel like it, to have a heart like Jesus is. And you know what? Then there'll be those this morning who are realizing that their hearts haven't ever wanted to follow Jesus, to do what he says. That their hearts are wanting to be like God's. But this morning, maybe you've begun to see, actually, you want a heart like that. You want a heart that wants to follow Jesus, that wants to love and obey God. Well, then you need to ask Jesus for such a heart. You need to turn to him and ask him to forgive you for having a heart that does not love him and ask him for a new heart. And you can because of the cross. Because on the cross, he died for our battered hearts and gave us new hearts. And we need to ask him today. Because we want to be those who are following Jesus, whose hearts love and obey God, whose hearts are after his. I'm just going to pause just for a very short while, just for us to think about what it means. And then we're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to pray. So let's just pause for just a moment. Maybe a chance to think about how you are wanting to follow Jesus or not. Maybe it's something this week you need to do. Pause.